We find in this passage of Scripture right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read in verse 11. The Bible said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you again for this wonderful day. We thank you for your dear people that have come, and Lord, that have come to sing and praise you and have come to hear something from the Word of God. Lord, I believe we've got the message for the hour today. I pray that it is. I believe that it is. Lord, we've studied and prayed about it. And Lord, I believe this is it. And I pray it be a help to your people. If there's somebody here that's lost, I pray they'd get saved today. And Lord, I pray that you just help us and that to learn from the Word of God what you'd have us to. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us at Calvary. Lord, I pray you'd guide our mind and our thoughts today. And keep us hid in you. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all. Now settle our mind and our heart. We thank you for all that you've done. Save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he's dealing in verses 1 through 11. The Apostle Paul, if you go back and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll find that they're dealing with a fella over there that has committed sin. They hadn't dealt with that sin, and Paul says, you need to deal with that sin. And so as they finally dealt with that sin, I believe that this is what he's talking about in verses 2 through 11. He's talking about that this fella has come back and wanted forgiveness. And so as he wants forgiveness, the Apostle Paul said in verse 7, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. And so we know that somebody's asking for forgiveness, wanting for forgiveness. In verse 10, Paul said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. And so Paul, in verses 1 through 10, he's talking about forgiveness. And then in verse 11, he makes a statement, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now listen, the text in the context here is for Satan to get an advantage of us or get above us or have something better than us or have took advantage of us or is better in our life, if I could say that, is not to give forgiveness when somebody needs it. That's actually what that is talking about right there. One of the advantages that he has in a believer's lives today is the very fact that we harbor unforgiveness. And listen, your life is so much better, and my life is so much better when we forgive. We looked at that Wednesday night for just a minute or two. Listen, we're forgiven, so we should forgive. Amen. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. But I want to preach today with a thought on what does the devil do? How does he get advantage and take advantage of us? Now you have to understand something. Satan is real. We preached on him just a few weeks ago, I believe, out of the 1 Peter 5 and 8, where he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, what about seeking whom he may devour? And then in the very next verse he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And if I ain't mistaken, I believe I'm resisting the devil. We preached on that. But what does he do? Listen, what does the devil do? The Bible, John 8:44, said, you of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So one of the first things that we understand and realize is that the devil is a liar. He will not tell you the truth. He wants you to believe everything that he has to say. Why do you think people get duped? I don't want to use that word duped because it's almost like trickery. But let me say this. Why do you think the devil does not show the bad side and that of sin? He presents it to our flesh, and then our flesh, we know there's coming a reaping day somewhere. We preached on that a couple Sundays ago. We preached on sowing and reaping. He lies and that about what's going to happen. Is that not what he done over in the garden? You remember he come to Eve over there as a serpent, he said, well, let's go there in Genesis chapter 3. I'll get started here in a minute. Genesis chapter 3. And look what he said. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, notice God didn't put that question in her mind. The devil did. Have you ever questioned some things? Have you ever wondered about some things that you know is the truth, but in your mind something has slipped in there, and it begins to eat at you, and it begins to bother you, and listen, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of times that is just Satan and that trying to make us doubt what God said. He is a liar. You need to understand that today. One of the things that the devil wants you to do is to doubt God's word. I'll deal with that here in a minute. Listen, he's not only a liar, he's a murderer. John 8:44 said he's a murderer. 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that he's proud. Revelation 12 tells us he's a deceiver. Matthew 13 says he's a thief. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's our adversary and that he's a destroyer. And in Revelation chapter 12, he is called the accuser of the brethren. Now listen, he accuses us before God day and night. Can you say, well, what's he got to accuse us for? Are you perfect today? Are you perfect? Do you do everything right? Do you do everything and that perfect? Let me say this. I believe not only does he accuse us and that before God, but has he ever slipped up on you and all of a sudden in your mind comes a thought about something you done years ago? Have you ever done that? I mean, something that you're not proud of, something that you shouldn't have done, maybe something you said, maybe you lied about something, you shouldn't have lied about something, and I'm talking about after you got saved. It's one thing what you do when you're lost, but, you know, once you get saved, we ought to be striving to live right, shouldn't we? Well, we're going to mess it up from time to time. But you know, especially as a young baby in Christ, as we were learning and growing, I listened along the way and trying to keep our flesh out of the way and was learning how to get our flesh out of the way. I listened. Sometimes we've said something. By the way, I even mess up now. I mess up now. And you know what will happen? He'll come into my mind, I really believe this, and accuse me of what I've done. But listen, I'm glad that I know that it's been took care of in Christ. But let me preach just a couple of things and we'll go to the house. First of all, what does the devil do? He works against the gospel. He works against the perfect gospel. It's the gospel that gets people saved. I'll be honest with you today, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is good and who is righteous. It is Satan who is evil. We are fighting good against evil today. And listen, he is fighting and bad against the work of a perfect gospel. Let me ask you today, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? Well, it's by the gospel, wasn't it? I mean, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He's the Son of God and came and lived and died for you. And if you had come and prayed to Him the best way that you knew how out of your heart and trust Him to be your Savior, He would save you. Have you done that? If you've not done that, listen, today would be a good day for you to come and trust Christ, the one who loves you and died for you so that you could get saved. But you know what he does? He fights in that against the gospel in Mark chapter 4 as he's talking about the sower. And after he sowed, he said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He comes and he snatches it away. I remember I was dealing with a young girl one time. Her mama called me at home and said she wants to get saved. She wouldn't talk to me over the telephone. I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll just give me just a few minutes, I'll get ready and I'll come to your house. Listen, I was about 30 minutes out, and all the way there I prayed, Lord, you stay with her and don't let the devil snatch this away from her. Now listen to me, I want you to listen. I love being around when your kids get saved. I love being able to lead children and act to the Lord and anybody but children. But listen, you are to be able to lead your children to the Lord. I shouldn't have to come. I shouldn't have to be there. I will. I'll be happy to. Don't misunderstand me. But you can lead your children to the Lord by yourself. Do you know that? Take that book and show them what it says to be saved. And ask them if they'll pray and ask God to come into their heart and save them. He'll do that. But he opposes, Satan opposes the gospel wherever he can. In Matthew chapter 13, he said, he answered him talking about the parable of the tares and of the wheat. And he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And so we find that there is tares, and that gets sowed in among the wheat. And the message of the tares is not in that of the gospel, but in that of against the gospel. I do believe this. I believe that there are people in church that is not saved. I believe that. They have never come to Christ. They have walked an aisle. They have got baptized. Somebody told them they got saved and got them baptized, but they never prayed. They never trusted Christ. But then there are people, I believe that the devil sows in among the way too, and that to hinder the gospel. How does he hinder the gospel? You know, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Let me ask you something this morning. Are we putting out the gospel? What was it the preacher said the other day? Listen, Satan don't care and the world don't care what we do inside these four walls. They could really care less. I mean, they'd like for it to go away. They'd like not to see the church. They'd like to not see the cross. But I'll be honest with you, what we do inside here does not bother them as long as it don't spill out there. How much promotion do we have of the gospel? How much are we putting out on the gospel? You say, well, we got radio broadcasting. And listen, and I really hope that those radio broadcasts are doing good. I'll be honest with you, I do. But in this country, let me ask you a question. How many lost people do you believe that are listening to a gospel radio broadcast? Now, I believe on occasion there probably is some. There's probably some that play it at work and lost people get to hear it that way. I think maybe sometimes folk are looking for something. They'll tune in and try to find something. But in all honesty, let's be honest about it, lost people just do not and they try to go and find to get saved. It's kind of like a thief trying to go find a policeman, ain't it? I mean, they ain't going to go find a policeman. I mean, listen, that's just how we, and I hope that those shortwave broadcasts that we're on, going out halfway around the world, three quarters of the way around the world, and what, boy, if you could see how many people download us off the internet, and in what countries, I hope that the gospel is getting out where folk can get saved. But what are we doing? What are we doing? We shouldn't be hindering the gospel in any way. You say, preacher, should we carry tracts all the time and hand out into everybody that we run into? Hey, listen, I think if God impresses your heart to hand out a tract, you hand out a tract, you give out a tract. But friend, it's by our daily living, by our daily life, that folks see Christ in us, that there's something different about us. Hey, he's happy, she's happy in a world that's dying lost, in a world that's popping pills and taking dope and drinking alcohol to make it through the next day. Hey, there's something different about us than this world has, and we should show it to them. That's Christ Jesus the Lord inside of us. He makes all the difference. He makes all the difference. There's a world out there that needs the gospel. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine unto them. How are we going to shine Christ? How's Christ going to shine unto them if we ain't shining? He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we letting our light shine? Boy, this ain't going the way I thought it's going to go, David. It's good. Amen. Listen, are we letting our light shine? Do we spread the gospel? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Listen, aren't we telling it? I'm telling you today, listen, I'm glad that we can let our light shine and our testimony can ring out and point folk to Christ. Listen, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell others and that about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, they need the gospel. Didn't you need the gospel? Didn't you need it? Listen, he'll come and he'll steal it away from folk. He gets their mind occupied on everything but what it needs to be occupied on. Do we not have more stuff? Do we not have more stuff than any generation's ever had? Do we not have more stuff to do than any generation has ever had? We can travel further and quicker than any generation before us and go find something to do. Do you realize that I am competing, as your pastor, I compete with the world to try to get folk to come to church. I have to. Listen, I think it would have been a lot better when the blue laws were around, when businesses shut on Sunday and there wasn't nothing else going on until after lunch. At least they'd have to come to church, amen, if they wanted to see somebody or do something, that's for sure. I mean, listen, it's the gospel, and Satan is trying to hinder the gospel. He's got us. He's got us so busy. He's got us so busy, and we can't even take time to put out the gospel. You know, everything we got in our house is supposed to make things quicker and easier, but yet we ain't got no time. See, I'm still of the generation that I remember when we didn't have a microwave. I remember when we bought our first microwave. As I was growing up, I can remember when we first bought our first microwave. And you know, you ain't supposed to put no metal in there. And Mama had some of these plates that was rimmed on the outside, had a little gold rim on the outside of them. I believe that's gold. I believe it's real gold because you'd put that thing in the microwave and turn it on and fire would dance all the way around that rim of that plate, you know. But see, it's supposed to make it quicker and make it easier. We're traveling faster. We're driving faster vehicles to get us. And in luxury, listen, think about the luxury of your car. Seriously. Think about the luxury of the car that you have. Listen, I remember the first one that I had. Listen, that thing was junk, man. I mean, I drove some junk. And I look at what God has blessed me with. What I'm trying to say is we let ourselves become hindered. I remember when you had one TV in the house and had three channels. Now we have four TVs in our house with no telling how many channels on it. I to watch whatever we want. Listen, we have hindered ourselves from putting out the gospel. And the devil uses those things against us. If you don't want a TV in your house, that's fine. Don't have a TV in your house. Just don't look at me cross-eyed. Amen. But listen, I know how to turn it off, but the problem is do we turn it off when we need to? We get hindered, don't we? Paul said Satan has hindered us. Now, when you set out in that to do something and that for God, and I believe that's what Paul was saying there. He said, I have set out to do this. I have set out to come to you. I have set out to come to preach to you. But Satan has hindered me. That means to stop. That means to put something in the way of to keep you from going forward. Hindered. He said, we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, one of the first devices that hinders us is us. Then another device that he uses is enemies against us. He uses fear against us, does he not? Does he use fear against you? What about going and witnessing to somebody that you know that is probably not going to receive the gospel all that well?
How many of us want to do that? I mean, I'm asking a question. How many of us really want to go do that? But you know what we need to do? We need to go ahead and present the gospel anyway. The world is not going to like the gospel. Listen, if they say, you start to present the gospel and they don't like it, then stop. I'm being honest with you. You're trying to build some rapport with some people. Amen? Right? And if they don't like it, then you just stop and go on about your business and you live before them as Christ would have you to live, and you pray for them and bring them for the church, and we'll pray for them and seek God for them, and maybe they'll get saved. But still, we're to take it out, ain't we? You know, one of my greatest fears is door knocking. But this ain't going nothing like what I thought. I may fold that thing up and just put it in place. Door knocking. I hate cold calling. I hate door knocking. I do. I'll be honest with you. Your preacher literally hates that. Because I don't know what's on the other side. I don't know how. First of all, I don't know if there is a dog or a gun on the other side. Me and Brother Frankie Roberts went on visitation one time. We knocked the door, and I thought, knocked on the door, and I'm glad he was in front of me. And I thought the fellow was going to turn the dog loose on us. I'm glad he was there. Admit him first, amen. But you don't know what's on the other side. And second of all, you don't know how you're going to be received. Does that mean we're not supposed to do it? Does that mean we're not supposed to invite folk? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. We ought to just start with our family and our friends. What was it that the Lord told Legion over there, the one that had been possessed with the devil? What did He say? He said, you go home and tell them what great things I have done for you. And the Bible said that he went home and began to publish throughout all the capitals what the Lord had done for him. When's the last time you told somebody about what God's done for you? So Satan hinders us. He uses fear against us. He gets us busy to where we don't have time. Don't have time to witness. Don't have time to go to church. Right? He hinders us. He takes advantage. You know, he said, lest he should get an advantage of us. Do you want Satan to have an advantage over you? He uses temptation against us to get us off track. He uses temptation to get us to sin, that if we would sin, that we might, and that perhaps ruin our testimony out of where He couldn't use us no more. God, that is. I don't want to ruin testimony. Listen, He uses doubt and discouragement against us, don't He? Has He ever used doubt and discouragement against you? You know, what did he say over there in the book of Galatians? We preached on this not too long ago. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why did he tell us that? Because he knew that we were going to become weary in our work. He knew we were going to become weary in our sowing. He knew that we were going to get wore out in the flesh. Well, when we hadn't seen things happen, when we hadn't seen things go the way that we think that they should, listen, we become weary in that. And we become discouraged. You ought to just come stand where I stand Sunday in and Sunday out and wonder if anybody's getting it. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. You ought to go to the nursing home every Friday and stand over there and preach and wonder if anybody's getting it or not. I mean, when half of them's asleep, are you picking on them? No, I ain't picking on them. I'm just telling you how it is. I'd probably be asleep too. I don't know what kind of medicine they're on. I don't know what kind of night they had. I don't know. But yet they come out, and all I hope for is that at least one of them gets to hear what I'm saying. That it might be help to them. And if not only that, that somebody in that facility, whether it's somebody that lives there, resident there, or somebody that works there, here's the preached word. I'm determined that sometimes what I've preached over there was not for those sitting in front of me, but for those that were in earshot of me. Because when they come to you, when you get done,
And the workers there, and they catch you in the hallway or in an office, and they tell you, I needed that. You see, you do see a little fruit every now and again. Discouragement. He uses discouragement against us to keep from going forward. Why would I want to bother? Why would I want to do these things? You know, he tempts us to quit. And I'll be honest with you, he'll use discouragement against us and tempt us with that too. Have you ever just been so discouraged that it almost brings on, or it might bring on, depression, despondency, and brings a doubt as to whether you're even doing the right thing? And the devil will use all, and some of that's just built into us. I understand that. But then the devil will use that against us if we let him. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his advantage. You know why I just keep going? Because that's my job. If there is no other reason than when I get out of the bed of the morning time, there's been times I've got out of the bed unhappy. There's been times I've got out of the bed discouraged. I've got out of the bed doubting. I've got out of the bed, just probably backslid if you don't know the truth. But you know why I keep doing what I do? You know why I keep doing what I'm supposed to do? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to let him get advantage of me. I'm not going to let him get the better of me. I've just been determined to that. I have fought that and fought that, and that's a message for a different time. I have fought and fought and fought and fought all those things. Doubt and discouragement, depression. What's the use? Why bother with it? Nobody cares. I mean, I'm being honest. He'll use your mind against you if you'll let him. Nobody else is living for the Lord. We get like Elijah over there. Lord, I'm the only one left. Ain't that what Elijah told him? Said, they're tearing down your altars. I said, they don't worship you. And said, I'm the only one left. And they're chasing me to kill me too. He uses those things against us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorant is not a bad word. Ignorant simply means unlearned. You know, you can be ignorant of some things, be unlearned about them. But you know, as God's people, we should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. We should know how he works. Take the Bible and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Am I doing okay? All right. Well, like I'm telling you, this ain't going nothing like I thought it was going to. Ephesians chapter 6, look in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, he's chasing you. He is after you. I understand that our flesh plays a big part in that. I understand that, but I'm not preaching on that today, okay? I want you to understand that. We understand that. What is it? Galatians 5:17, that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But what did he say right here? He said, put on the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So how do we stand? How do we prevent Satan
getting gained in our life? How do we prevent him from taking advantage of us? How do we prevent him from getting the edge? How do we prevent him and that from, but just basically getting the better of us? Well, he tells us right here. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Realize that it's a fight. Realize that he wants to get advantage of you. Realize he wants you to quit. Realize he don't want you and that to take time to spread the gospel. Realize that he does want you to be busy. We were talking about that in the prayer room early this morning. Talking about the devil's figured out these jobs, how to get people out of church just with their job. He said, take the whole armor of God. And then he said, you take the armor, then you can stand. And he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me stop right here. Out of everything, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. You just got to trust and believe. Now, you got to have it all if you're going to win. I understand that. And listen, I'll deal with the rest of it here in just a second. But I'm going to tell you, when your faith gets weak, you'll quit. Or you'll want to quit. Has your faith ever got weak? I mean, just got tired of trusting. I'll be honest with you, I've been in a bad, man, I'm telling you, probably for 3 or 4 years, probably since 2016, it's been bad. For 4 years, it's been bad. Mentally, it's been bad. Spiritually, it's just been bad. He said, preacher, you come and you preach every Sunday. Yes, I do. I get up, I put a smile on my face, and I play the part that I'm supposed to play, and I do what I'm supposed to do. You know why? I just keep having faith. But there have been some times that my faith has got weak. And there have been times that I've almost come in here and told y'all just had it, that I'm going on. I'm not, and I wasn't mad at y'all. I'm just saying that in the ministry you get tired and you get wore out and you see people don't care. Their priorities are wrong. And I mean, and I'm fighting other things on top of that out of my mind and out of my heart that I'm struggling with. And then you got to put up with this and then the mess that we had last year. I like to throw it in a time or two. I'll be honest with you, I like to throw it in. Just come in here. Now, I would remember what Brother Ted Pegram told me. I don't know how we got here this good. Amen. Because I want you to understand that I'm no different than you are. And you're no different than I am. Brother Ted, he'd tell me, he'd say, before he passed on, he'd say, now, son, now when you get up behind that pulpit and you're going to say them words that you're leaving, you can't take them back. And so I'd just pray and I'd seek God and I'd reach over and I'd get my shield of faith and I'd hold on. Does the devil ever, or do you or the devil ever just let things get invented in your mind? Does he mess with your mind? See, one of the problems that I have is I spend a lot of times alone. Whether I'm reading or whether I'm praying or doing something at the house or whether I'm out on visitation. You know, I do go visit with people and do go to the nursing home and do go out. But you know, a lot of times I'm alone. And so all these things bombard in my mind. And that's what I think about. And you know what he'll do? He'll almost get advantage of me when I leave. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he said, and take the helmet of salvation
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. And so you just keep fighting. You just keep fighting. You know, Paul told Agrippa over there, he said, I thank myself happy. I just thank myself happy some days. And you know, I have prayed and prayed and prayed for God to send me some help. And He has sent me some along the way. And He has reminded me, you know, I may preach out of Psalm 17 tonight. He has reminded me that, you know, preacher, you preach all the time out of Psalm 17 about how that I come by and visit in the nighttime. And He said, I have visited you several times in the night. So we take the whole armor of God. We take the truth. We take the breastplate of righteousness and our feet that is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ain't that amazing that it is our feet that is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? The one thing that moves us and makes us go and want to go take the gospel. What should move us? The gospel. Me and a preacher friend of mine was talking about that. And I'll be honest with you, what the Lord has done for me in the past 6 months has been amazing. And I've just now realized it this past week, how He has sent me friends to help me. As iron sharpeneth iron, so sharpeneth the man's countenance with his friend. He has sent me some preacher friends, and even some friends that are not preachers that, man, have just sharpened me up. And we've talked Bible, and we've talked about the Lord, and I mean, it's just helped me something drastically. I don't know how we've got off on all this, but boy, ain't it good today. Amen. He said, above all, taking that shield to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So when the wicked, when Satan throws them darts at us, we've got to have that shield of faith up. Lord, I'm just trusting You for it all. We're steadfast in the faith. You know, Peter told us, talking about Satan over there, he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, take the helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. Protect your mind with the helmet of salvation, and then you draw out the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and begin to fight. Satan wants to get an advantage of us. I'll be honest with you. As a whole, I think Satan's got an advantage of the church. I do. The church as a whole. I'm not talking about our local assembly, but we fit into it. But as a whole, I mean, look around at churches today. We're not knocking the walls out. Most don't have visitation program. What are we doing? I mean, seriously, what are we doing to promote the gospel? What are we doing? What are we doing to help folks? Let me just park here for just a second. What are we doing to help folks in the church? And I know that our church takes care. We take care of each other pretty well, pretty good most of the time. But we should. And let me say this. And we ought to do it without complaining, too. It ought to be a joy to us to get to go help somebody. It ought to be a joy to us to forgive somebody. I mean, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, if we're not ignorant of his devices. I'm just saying that he will want you to quit, and he'll use anything and everything to get you to quit. He'll do anything and everything to get you to slow down. He talks about in the book of Hebrews over there, lest that root of bitterness springing up defile us. He'll let bitterness even build up. Have you ever been bitter? You ever been bitter? Just can't turn it loose. Whatever it is,
You can't turn it loose. Somebody done you wrong. Somebody said something to you wrong. Somebody acted towards you wrong. Somebody said something about your family. And listen, you just can't let that thing go. That's going to hinder you from serving the Lord. Hinder you from coming in here and having joy. He'll take advantage of that. Satan will. I hope the message has helped you. Dad, let's bow our heads across the house. Jeff, give us just a little music this morning, if you would, brother. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come and pray this morning. Like I say, that message went nothing like I thought it was going to. I don't know how he's getting advantage of you. Your time may be occupied by other things other than serving Christ. When's the last time you prayed or read your Bible? When's the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord? When's the last time you were just kind to somebody? Preacher, they didn't deserve for me to be kind to them. You need to come pray. He told us to even, to feed our enemies and give them drink. Not our friends, our enemies. How many of us are sidetracked? We're just too busy. Got too much going on. Can't serve God. Have you ever been to a place where you want to throw in the towel? Say, I'm tired. Let me tell you right now, if you've never been saved and Satan's telling you that you've got time or you can wait, he's got advantage of you right now. You need to come and trust him. If you need, just let it play, Brother Jim. If you need to come,